All right. All righty. Could we? Does anyone know how to turn the light off or the little? Not sure which one. Oh, perfect. Thank you. All right. We're going to continue our study of redemption accomplished and applied today. For the sake of time, we're not going to do a big review here. Last week, just very briefly, we talked about the warrant for faith and repentance. We're in chapter 4 of the applied section on faith and repentance. The warrant, we talked about that being the guarantee that if a sinner repents and believes on Christ, he will be saved. So this is the divine warrant, God's guarantee. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. We saw that in the universal offer of the gospel, where God entreats, he calls, and he commands everyone to believe. So whoever you are you're talking to and you're sharing the gospel, there's a command for everyone. You must believe. Believe. So no one can say, well, not me. I'm not good enough. The universal offer of the gospel is everyone must believe, no matter who you are. And then in that universal offer, we saw the all-sufficiency and suitability of the Savior presented in the offer. So we see not only does God call everyone, but then he provides the Savior, the perfect Savior that can actually accomplish that salvation for you. So everyone must believe, and if you believe, you will be saved. There's a certainty, and that's the certainty we want to go out with. As we bring the gospel, we want to go with that certainty that God has committed himself, that if you will believe, you will be saved, right? And that's we want to have that. So there's a warrant for faith and repentance, that it will be saved, that you will be saved if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So today we're going to talk about nature, the nature of faith and the nature of repentance. Remember, faith is a whole-souled movement of commitment, of self-commitment to Christ for salvation from sin and its consequences. And that idea of movement is going to be big. When we're thinking about faith and repentance, it's the idea of movement, moving away from sin and self and moving towards God. So faith and repentance together, we see this movement. So we're a lot of talking about movement today as we think of these two natures. Okay, let's see. This is how Murray describes the nature of faith. It's knowledge, conviction, and trust. I mean, these three aspects of the nature of faith. Knowledge, conviction, and trust. In 1689, the Confession says, the principal act of saving faith focuses directly on Christ. That's important. We're going to talk about that a little bit more, but it's focused on Christ, accepting, receiving, and resting upon him alone for justification, sanctification, and eternal life. And I thought that was helpful as well as you think about knowledge, conviction, and trust, accepting, receiving, and resting. We receive Christ, we receive him and what we know about him, we accept, we believe, we're convicted, we have a conviction, it's true, and we rest upon him, we trust upon him for salvation. So these are some sort of big ideas about the nature of faith. But I want to look at the three that Murray talks about. He breaks it down a little bit. Knowledge, conviction, and trust. So first, the nature of faith of knowledge. Now, we all know this, of course. Faith is not just knowledge, right? We can't say, I know these things are these things, I know these facts that I'm saved. No, it's not just knowledge, but there are things that you have to know. Right? Romans 10:17. Faith comes from hearing. And hearing by the word of Christ. Faith comes from hearing. We have to hear something. So if somebody's going to be saved, they're going to have to hear some things. So what do you have to know to be saved? That's a real question. Alan? Okay, so we'll talk about that. That's very good. We have to have some self-awareness. God has to be revealing in our hearts who we are, that we need to be saved. So we have to know that. What else do we need? Now, yeah, Josh?
The impossibility of us being saved in any way.
Okay, that's really important, because then you could say, well, I was raised Muslim, or I was raised Buddhist, and I need to be saved, so this is my family tradition. Is that going to work for me? No, we have to know there's no other way, so we have to be limiting that. The true saving knowledge has to be limited to truth, right? And there's actually a really important part we haven't talked about. It's the easy part. It's the Sunday school answer. All right, so we need to know something about God, the true and living God. We're going to talk about all these things. But what were you going to say there, Joe?
When you said Jesus.
That's the answer. If you don't ever get to Jesus, guess what? You're not saved. So you can know all those things, but if you don't say Jesus, if Jesus isn't the one, you're not saved. So when we talk to somebody, let's not make sure we're not missing the Jesus part, right? We are a sinner. There's no other way except for Jesus. There's no other name under heaven we may be saved but Jesus. Here, Ephesians 4:13, this idea that we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Those ideas together, we're growing up together in the unity of the faith. That's the doctrines, the things we learn and know and believe to be true, that impacting and changing our lives. And it's the knowledge of the Son of God. What is all that we have to know? What is the growing up in the unity of the faith? Ultimately, it's the knowledge of the Son of God. It has to be funneled down into that reality. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We have to know Him, and we have to know about Him. And if we don't tell people about Jesus, we're not telling them about salvation. And a lot of what we talked about is really important, because when you say we're teaching somebody about Jesus, it's not Jesus, the guy who fixed my car. No, that's not the Jesus we're talking about. It's not Jesus that we made up that doesn't care what we do. It's not that Jesus. It's not Jesus that was the first created thing by God. It's not that Jesus. It has to be the true living Jesus. That's the guy we have to be talking about. If we're not talking about Him, we're not talking about saving faith. And so when you're talking to somebody and they know something about a Jesus, and we really want to be your friend and you're trying to interact with them, do they have saving faith? Who is the Jesus they're talking about? Is it the Jesus of the Bible, the true and living Jesus? Or is it a Jesus of our imagination or our society's imagination or a false religion? Because the false religions, they also have a Jesus. And that's not going to save anybody. So we need to know, we need the knowledge of the Son of God, the true Jesus. Here are some other things we have to know. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. Now I made known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, in which also you stand. So this could be underlying this whole, really, section. We received this information. I gave you this gospel, and you received it. You listened to it, and you heard this information, and you stand in it. You're trusting in it. And we'll talk about that at the end. By which you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. So there's assent, that's believing. So all three little pictures are there. But what do you have to know, believe, and trust in? For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures. So this is what Paul says, you have to get this stuff. And this, actually, a lot of information is piled in here that we'd have to unpack to really get to what is being talked about here. First, you have to understand that Jesus is the Christ. What does the Christ mean? What does that mean? We've talked about that before. Does anybody remember what Christ means? Alan? The Anointed One. That's the Messiah. So Christ is God's Anointed One. He is God's Messiah. You have to understand who that's the biblical Jesus. He is the Anointed One of God, Christ, the God's Messiah, the Savior that God has appointed according to the Scriptures. And He died for our sins, and He was buried, and He was raised on the third day. So if anybody's going to be saved, you're going to have to know this stuff. These are things you have to know. Not enough just to know them, but we have to get these facts into somebody's mind and into our own minds if we're to be saved. We have to know these things. That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, who died for our sins, and is buried, and is raised on the third day. And we're coming back to some of these ideas again in a few minutes. But it's not just knowledge. So I know those things, but then there's the conviction. Do I know them to be true? Do I believe those things? We know this verse, right? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So now, no one in this room has seen the body of Jesus Christ. No one's seen Him raised from the dead. These are things that we learn and we have to believe. And so it's not just we know and we can maybe make some assent. Okay, that sounds like that's a plausible reality. But the Holy Spirit has to work in our hearts and say, I believe that Jesus has been raised from the dead. As astounding as that sounds, I believe that's to be true. And for someone to be saved, they have to not know those things. They have to believe them. They have to have assurance, a conviction of these things, that they're true. these truths about Jesus. And this is another thing we have to, this is not focused on in the chapter, but this has been touched on. I think, Alan, you made this point. We have to know who we are, right? Ephesians 2, 1 through 8, we're going to work through it real quick. But who are we? Look at these verses. What does this tell us about ourselves? You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we all too formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. So we have to know about ourselves. What is the picture is this painting of us? Yeah, does this give us language like we have some possibility of unbinding ourselves? I mean, this is a pretty helpless picture, isn't it? And like with Joshua, there's no other way. I mean, you're dead. This is language of death. I mean, what are you going to do if you're dead? You're not going to do anything. So you're dead, and you're bound to this world. You had a prince of the power of the air ruling over you. You're one of the sons of disobedience. Lusts of the flesh and the mind, children of wrath. I'm sorry?
No.
Okay, all right, it's okay. Heard some comment, that's fine. So we have to understand who we are, and we need to have a right understanding of who we are. And this really takes the Holy Spirit to do this, to really break in upon us. This is what we're praying for, to see ourselves as we are. And we are desperately needy, right? But then we have to believe, what has God done? And that's one of those but God statements, right, in verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ. So what do we have to believe about God from these verses? We see ourselves as so desperately needy and wicked. What do we believe about God here? What? That he makes us alive. That, right? We need to say that he can make us alive. But I think sometimes, get at the very first line there, that we sometimes, maybe we've gotten so settled in the love of God that when we're talking about what an amazing thing it is for a sinner to become aware of my own real wickedness, to really believe verse 4 about them. That he has a great love for me. In verse 5, that even when we were dead, he loved us. He showed mercy on us, and he gave us life. It wasn't like, after I've got my life cleaned up, and then I'm okay, then God's going to give me new life. And so, no, in the midst of your wickedness and your brokenness and your sin and your misery, God sets his love on you, he shows you mercy, and he gives you life in Jesus. We have to believe that. And that's the wrestling with, to say, how do I understand this? How do I get this? That's the Holy Spirit opening our hearts to that reality. You have a comment, Murray?
Yes, because it's important, I think, for us to connect these thoughts, these are convictions of the things we know.
Right.
And so we know, I mean, that verse 4 puts it in terms of what we know about God. He's rich in mercy. It's because of that, he loves us, and that moves him to show grace to us.
Yeah. So we have to know who God is, right?
Yeah, if we have trouble with him showing love and grace, it's got to go back to, but this is who he is.
That's right.
It's the only way that happens.
That's right. Do you have a comment there, Josh?
I just think that's the struggle positionally sometimes. I think it's easier to believe that God can save a people instead of saving a person.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like oh yeah, God saves his people, and it's very impersonal.
Yeah.
Because it's a group.
Right.
But then it helps us to evangelize as well when you think of God saving our son.
Right.
And then it helps us to know and love him when he knows he loves us individually.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what's being offered. And that's what we have to keep getting. And isn't that what every human being needs? In their heart, we are desperately need to know that we are loved and accepted. And ultimately, we need that from God. And our hearts need that. Right.
I think also with the conviction, you have to be witnessed to somebody who really don't think that even though we're dead in our transgressions, we're still doing that, he's going to raise us up at the last day.
That's what we have to get these as a Christian. We have to believe these things, that God can raise that person up, and he's going to raise me up, and we're going to stand before him, and that person is going to stand before him. These are real things that we have to believe and really know these things. We're going a little too slow to finish today, so we're going to have to speed up a little bit. But the last verse, by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. We have to believe that. We have to come to know that just like there's no other way, we can't do it at all. It's all of God, that God does this. We can't add anything to it. So we have to come to these convictions. And not just I know these truths are real, but this is my life, that God saved me in Christ, that I am worthless in myself. I am sinful and wicked, but God is mercy and love. And he came down in my depravity, in my deadness, and he gave me life. All right, so then let's move on to trust. That's knowledge. If you know these things, you have to really believe them. I mean, get them in your heart to believe them. Again, this is all the work of the Holy Spirit, but this is what faith is. And then it moves us into trust. Knowledge, conviction, and trust. So Dr. Murray says, faith can't stop short of self-commitment to Christ. When you know these things and you become convinced of them, what else can you do except for throw yourself whole-souled on Christ, because there is no other place. I see myself as absolutely wretched. I see the mercy of God in Jesus Christ. So we throw ourselves whole-souled, whole life commitment to him. Away from ourselves, we see ourselves as sinful, and whole-souled, we throw ourselves on the reliance of Christ for salvation. I think I'm going to have to skip a little bit of this. I'll make this point. This is from the 1689. We wrestle upon him for justification, sanctification, eternal life. I wanted to focus on that, because what is salvation and what are we really trusting God for? Well, salvation is justification, I was saved. Sanctification, I am being saved. And eternal life, I will be saved. So when we say we're trusting in Jesus for our salvation, it's not like I get a ticket, that's what I'm looking for. It's my whole life is salvation, that he saved me on the cross. I'm trusting in him right now. With all of my sin, with all of my doubt, with all of my struggles, I'm trusting him right now to be saving me right now and not letting me go. Like it's going to depend on me now. No, it doesn't depend on me now. It still depends on Jesus. And I can depend on him all the way until the new heavens and the new earth, when all things are made well. That I am trusting in Jesus. That assurance, that whole-souled trust standing is for my past salvation, my current salvation, my future salvation. The whole picture of salvation is what we trust in Jesus. And that's what salvation is. That's what faith is drawing us where our whole being, what means the anxiety for the future, I give that to Jesus. I trust in Jesus. My struggles now, I trust that in Jesus. My worries about my who I was, I give that to Jesus. And in all that, I have nothing to add for myself. I trust wholly in Jesus. And then that's the picture of faith. Okay, there's so much to say here, and we have to talk about repentance yet. Ultimately, it's not believing these things, and it's believing in the person. We have to come to know the person, Jesus Christ, not just about Jesus. But until you come into contact with Jesus, the risen, living Savior, we've not been saved. And the idea we saw in 1 Corinthians, that Jesus is raised from the dead. Why do we have to believe he's raised from the dead? I don't have time to do questions. Why do we do that? We do that because we have to believe we're worshiping and connected to a living God, not a dead man who we're remembering. But he was raised from the dead, and we have a relationship with the living Christ. Our salvation is in him. And until we get to that trust in the living Jesus, we don't have saving faith. So we have to get to the person. And this is for all of us, you sitting in this room, if we have put up boundaries of assent that we like this or like that, but we have not yet come to contact with the living Christ, we are not yet alive. We don't yet have faith. We need to throw our whole selves on Jesus. Now, if that's you this morning, you're like, oh, maybe that's me. What do? You believe on Jesus. You take us out. I can't do this. I can't fix this. I throw myself on you, person, living Jesus, who's been raised from the dead. That's what we have to do. Trust in the person, the Son of God, the Savior of the lost. Let's skip this part. It's just, he has been raised from the dead, so in him we can have salvation. It is in him, when we come into contact with him, we can be raised up with him and alive. And we'll skip this one too, but this is just saying we're sealed with him. This is actually a neat summary of the whole process. You listen to the truth, you believe it, you come into contact with the living Christ, you're sealed to him. So that's like the whole picture we just talked about. You get the knowledge, you hear the message, you believe in it, you having believed, and you're sealed to him. You're brought into relationship with Jesus Christ. This is a neat verse, Ephesians 1:13, to think about. What is faith? It's hearing, it's believing, it's being connected to the living Christ. That's what we have to all be. And we need to have all that in our minds as we think about faith. All right. This is important. I'm just going to say it without all the little bits. It's not meritorious. So he's like, my faith is not like a merit. Like, now I have faith, now I earned my righteousness with my faith. I got my faith badge. No, right? That's wrong. If that's in our minds, it's absolutely wrong. Faith is not merit, it's dependence, right? I'm just depending on Christ. It's not something I'm just going to skip through all this because we don't have time. It's our dependence on Christ, relying on him. It's Jesus who saves us, not our faith. Our faith connects us to Jesus who saves us, okay? So we don't believe in our faith. We don't trust in our faith. And that's, you see how sometimes tricky this is as Christians? We want something in ourselves we can finally look at and say, yeah, that's why I'm saved, right? I have enough faith, or I have enough good works, or I have enough righteousness, or I have enough this. Faith is dependence. It's desperate, whole soul dependence on Jesus. And that faith is connecting to him. It's Jesus, and it's only Jesus that saves us. So every time we get one of those crutches, we feel good about ourselves because I have enough faith, or I have enough this. We got to make sure we're not leaning on that. We got to kick that away and say, we only lean on Jesus. It's got to be putting me to Jesus. And that's a scary place because that's what faith is. Faith means I can't rely on myself at all. And we are so addicted to self-reliance. We are so addicted to self-reliance that apart from the Holy Spirit, we can never turn from self-reliance and cling to Jesus Christ. And that's a struggle we continue to struggle with as Christians. That still addiction of saying, no, I want to rely on myself. I want to look to myself to find something. Instead of saying, I'm going to look wholly and fully on Jesus and find him to be holy and perfectly true and faithful and good. And that's what faith is. And brothers and sisters, that's what we have to be living, is throwing ourselves again and again on Jesus. Again and again on Jesus. But the flip side of that is repentance. And I'm just going to take just a few minutes to talk about repentance. Repentance and faith really go hand in hand. It's a movement. Repentance is moving from sin. Faith is moving to God, and it's always this movement from sin to God. So it's always the same thing. So as we've talked about faith, the flip side is repentance. We're going to talk about that a little bit more briefly, just for the sake of time. Repentance consists essentially in a change of heart, mind, and will. And he gives four things, and we're not going to talk about them individually. He doesn't either, but we're just going to wrap them all up. But think of these four things that we have to change in our heart, mind, and will. We have to think how we think about God, how we think about ourselves, how we think about sin, and how we think about righteousness. This is where we're going to change, how we think about God and righteousness and our sin and self, ourselves and sin. We change our minds in this movement from sin to God. And that's what repenting really means. In a Christian term, it means repenting from sin, but repenting just means changing your mind or changing your direction. That's what the word means. All right, so what is the nature of repentance? When we think of we're repenting from sin, now this is also something really key for each of us and as we talk, share the gospel. It's not sin in general. Like, I'm repenting of sin as if this is sort of this amorphous kind of cloud of badness and I'm going to turn from it. I don't really know what it is, but that's bad. I'm not going to want that anymore. No. It's specific. It's my sin. And it goes back to seeing ourselves as who we are, as dead in trespasses. And I need to turn away from my sins, the sins that I am, that I love, that I am prone to, that I see in my life. The changing of the mind is saying, I don't want those anymore, although my flesh kind of still does, and that's confusing, but I don't want them anymore. And I do want God, although my flesh doesn't, and that's still confusing. So this is what the change of mind is to say, I don't want sin anymore. This sin of my life, this thing that I have been clinging to, that I've been relying on, I'm starting to hate that. I'm turning from that. And I'm seeing God as mercy and love and joy. And though my flesh sometimes recoils, I'm saying, that's what I want. And that's the change of mind here. We see that in Acts, right? Remember when Peter said in Acts 2:38, repent each of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Individually, the sins that you have, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And remember Simon the magician? Remember he was the guy who tried to buy the Holy Spirit with money? And then Peter says to him, he says, no, repent of this wickedness of yours, this act, this wickedness, not just sin in general, but your sins. Repent of this wickedness and pray the Lord, if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. I think I think for ourselves and certainly for the lost, we can say, yeah, I'm a sinner in general, like everybody else. I'm a sinner like everybody else. But until we see that we have real individual sins that dishonors God and is destroying our own lives and saying, no, I don't want these anymore. These things that I thought were so great, these things that fill my mind, this lust, this anger, until I can say, I don't want those anymore by the grace of God and turn to God and say, I want Him and I want salvation from these things and I can't save myself. That's what repentance is, from these sins. I don't want these anymore. Though I'm still drawn to them, though it's still confusing, I don't want them anymore. I want God. I want salvation. That comes from the Holy Spirit. And then, not only from sin, but then we have this language where it's repenting towards God, which is that other side of that movement, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's changing our minds. Now we're moving towards God. Where before we were children of wrath, we were moving away from God. We change our minds. We try to move, by the grace of God, we're moving towards God, repenting towards God, changing our minds towards God. And this is where I'm going to end. Not bad. This is where I'm going to end. This sort of puts together all four of those pieces where we're changing our minds. And the word repentance and the word faith is not in any of these verses. But this is the picture of the Christian life, living the life of constantly moving from sin towards God. Because what I want for you, for most of you here are Christians. You profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith and repentance, those aren't the things you do at the beginning and then you're done. Faith and repentance is the life of the Christian. We are constantly turning away from sin and turning towards God. And this is what we see in these verses here, verses 11 through 13 of chapter 6 of Romans. Consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So right there you have I'm changing my mind. We have to keep changing our minds. We have to remember that about myself. I am not bound to sin anymore. I'm dead to sin. That old self that loved that, I want that to be dead. I have to set that in my mind, and I'm changing my mind, but I'm alive to God. So as I think about myself, how do you think about yourself, Christian? We have to keep repenting of that old life. I'm not this person anymore. I'm alive to God. That's who I am. And I'm changing my mind about God. God has given me life, and that's where I'm finding life, even when I don't feel it sometimes. This is, don't let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lust. You change your mind about sin. I'm not bound to that anymore. I mean, sometimes it feels like that when you have the anger sort of washes over you and you feel like there's no escape but just to explode and vent. I'm not bound to that sin anymore. That sin does not have rule over me. Christ rules over me. So repenting is changing our mind, changing our heart and our will. I'm not bound to this anymore. And 13, do not go presenting your members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So you're changing your mind about sin, about righteousness, about yourself, about God. You're not dead anymore. So every one of you, if you're a Christian this morning, and you think of the Bible, what does it call you to do? The life it calls you to live. It calls you to have emotions that you don't feel like you can have right now. It calls you to do things you feel like you can't do. It calls you into acts of faith that you feel like you can't handle. This is... don't think of yourself as bound by that old person anymore. That's dead. No, you're alive in Christ. And everything I'm calling to you to do, I'm calling you to love that person with emotional love because you're alive. And change, repenting is changing your mind, saying, you know what? I'm not this old dead person anymore. I am alive in Christ. I can love that person. Our sin, our old nature says, look, you're scared of going out and opening your mouth. Well, that's my old dead self. I'm not that person anymore. I'm alive now. I'm alive in Christ. I'm going to change my mind about who I am, about what I want, about God. I have to click that link. I can't stop myself. That's dead. I'm free from that now. I have to believe that. By faith, you grab hold of that. That's not me anymore. That's dead. I'm alive in Christ. And because I'm alive in Christ, I can move forward. I don't have to think that thought. I don't have to say that word. I don't have to cut that corner because I'm alive in Christ. And that's faith. It's moving from what we know, reliance on ourselves, to what we don't know, the unseen, reliance on Jesus. That's clinging to faith, the living Christ. And that's repenting and faith. And we're really out of time. But as we're out of time, are there any thoughts you'd like to share from that? And that was kind of just exploded on you for 30 minutes. It was pretty basic. But I want those things clear in our minds, and I really appreciate John Murray for the way that he clarifies some of these points. And we want to have this clear in our minds. We want to trust in Jesus. And let's not let anything get in the way of that reliance. When we're tired, we feel broken, we feel we failed, we've sinned, let's keep going back and relying on Jesus, turning from ourselves. Josh?
Just to forget that it's a continual faith.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we get to a point, and then that's a huge wall between us sharing the gospel with a wretched sinner.
Yeah.
We no longer view ourselves as wretched.
Right. And it gets away of even just real community. Because we put up these walls of, look, no, I don't need to do that anymore. I'm not that sinner anymore. Are you kidding me? Sin? No way. No, but that gets in the wall of real relationship. We have to live in this as a community so that we are free to talk to people because we're not better than them, and we're free to be open. So we got a brother or sister in the way 10 or 20 years. If I share that I'm still struggling with sin, they'll think I'm a goof. They'll think I'm not real. So no, this is our life. That causes an honest relationship. So this we have to live here. This is where we have to be. Everything is down where I'm trusting only in Jesus. Thank you, Josh. That was good. All right, let me pray for us, and we'll close. Father, thank you so much for your word. Father, forgive me for going too fast. And God, I just pray that you'd help us grab hold of these ideas, that you'd fill our minds with these truths. We never get beyond this. We are so desperately needy for this. So would you please fill our souls with this trust and with this knowledge and with this ability to cling to you? Would you show us Jesus again more clearly? Would you show us ourselves, our own failures, our own lies? Not to depress us, but Father, to push us further in dependence on and to Jesus. So Father, please would you fill up our souls with the joy of our Savior, with your love and your mercy. Would you drive us to pursue righteousness and holiness because we love you and we desire you and we don't want these things anymore. We are alive in Christ. And Father, would you please encourage us to go out in the world and to spread this good news. Would you help us, Lord, to live it out where we are, and give us the joy of seeing sinners come to faith. We love you. We know that you can save. We can't. So, Father, strengthen our faith. Use us in Jesus' name. Amen.